Tonight's show is sponsored by Kathy. Hey, that's me. This is Goofy.
No, it's great. You are the sponsor tonight.
Oh. She makes the coffee that keeps us going?
See, that sounded great.
It still needs some work, Jerry. I'm going to go make some coffee. I still think it sounded goofy.
High on a mountainside near the asylum in the ghost town of Jerome, Arizona, you are listening to Jerry and Kathy Wills.
You don't know why.
Comments and views expressed on the Jerry Wills Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect those of Jerry Wills, the Jerry Wills Show, the affiliates or sponsors, or Channel U.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another show, another broadcast. I've got something special for you this evening. What we're going to do, I'll give you a little bit of a lead into it, and then I'm going to switch over to it. But what we're going to do is we're going to show you some video. First, from when we, good heavens, I forgot to do this. Give me a moment. There we go. Forgot to turn on the radio broadcaster. All right, that should be working, I hope. I don't see it moving, but it's supposed to be. Anyway, that aside, what we're going to be doing this evening is I'm going to be telling you a little bit about our recent trip where we went to Board Camp Mine. But ahead of that, we were in Joplin, Missouri at the Joplin Spook Lights. And while we were there, we set up to try and record the Joplin Spook Lights with the new night vision camera that we have, the Psionics camera. It's a color night vision camera. And basically, we had some equipment failure. It worked fine when we left the Phaeton. We drove about 45 minutes out to the site, unpacked it out of the Pelican case it was kept in, fired it up, and that's when things started going a little wacky. We had hoped to set up the Waze Expedition Cam to give you a live feed, and that's really the main thing that goofed up. We wanted to do a live feed with night vision from that site, but we just weren't able to. There was really not very much in the way of signal out there, and I think that's the reason why it happened the way that it did. It is in the middle of nowhere on the border between Missouri and Oklahoma and a pretty heavily wooded area. And though there were some towers around, I think that those were probably radio towers. I don't think they were cell towers. Anyway, I did get a little bit of footage. I'm going to be showing that to you. And afterwards, the next day, we packed up and we headed south. It was about 4.5 hours. Went to Mena, Arkansas. I thought when we got to Mena, Arkansas, we were really like there, but that wasn't the case. You see, there, the place we're going to actually was called Board Camp Crystal Mine. It's called Board Camp because that's the name of the town. It's a small town. And I think it's about 30 minutes away on some twisty-turny country roads. We did get there, of course. Got pulled in. Got set up. Orville and Cheryl Murphy were very gracious. They had a spot there with electricity, water, and a dump station right there, like in a normal RV park. So we parked there, rested, and then we started looking around. The next day, actually, we started looking around at things to see what we could find. That night we got there, Orville did take us on a walkabout all across his property. I think he's got like 40 acres. And we saw about a third of it that first evening. It was right just about an hour before sundown when we started walking. And he showed us all the sights, all the places, so we'd have a basic idea of where things were at and where strange things had happened. That night, we took it easy, turned in early. You know, 4.5 hours is, it's not really that bad of a drive, but when you're driving on very narrow country roads and there are huge logging trucks that are going the opposite direction, coming right towards you, and little narrow bridges once in a while, it becomes a bit stressful. So we turned in. The next day, we did some more looking around. The interesting thing about the Board Camp Mine is the feeling that you get when you're there. And Kathy and I will go into that after we show you this video. But it's a very peculiar feeling. There were a number of things that happened, but I think before I get too deep into this without Kathy, I'm going to show you first the video we took in Joplin. Now, what you're going to see in this video, it's going to look a little different than any night vision you've taken a look at before, because it's a color night vision camera. It really is pretty amazing. In the distance, you're going to see there's some red lights that are flashing. That is not what we're looking for. You will see one light in particular that's down closer to the ground that seems to go on and go off. And it just did this on and on all through the night. So what we did, we decided, you know, that could be a reflection off a sign. I mean, there's a number of things it could be. So we basically got in the Jeep and kept it in our sights as best we can. You have to go down a little bit of a dip and come back up over it again. We're driving with the lights off. Meanwhile, our son Jordan, and he had just gotten married to Rhonda just a week earlier. They were with us. So they were there watching this light, reporting on the radio what they were seeing. And, you know, if it's car headlights, then that's what it is. So we're driving along. It's dark. I run off the road and manage to get back on the road again. And we finally get all the way to the point well beyond where this light is showing up. We didn't see any evidence of what the light would be doing. It did go out when we got closer to it, we were told. So we sat there in the darkness. The road goes up, then it curves sharply off to the left, and there's a farmhouse there. So we parked, and we were told the light was back. So we turned around, and we very slowly creep along this highway. And there's no traffic, really. Creep along this highway, and when we get to this one particular area, the light went out. And then we keep going. It stayed out until we got turned around. So we figured, you know, and there's no sign. There was no reflective sign or anything like that between where we were and actually where the turn was, the turn to the left. So we just sat there watching it for a while. I mean, what can you do? That's when I decided I would get out the Expeditions cam, hook it up, and broadcast a live image of this going on. Like I said, that didn't work. So I got out the Psionics camera and set it up. And I captured some footage. It's about a minute and a half. And what you'll see in a minute and a half is really representative of what we saw the whole night. So it's not like you're missing anything that we didn't take hours of video. It just did the same thing over and over, basically in the same spot. It moved a little here and there. A little to the left, a little to the right, maybe a little higher, maybe a little lower, but it wasn't moving around all that much. So I'm going to show you that video, and you can see what you think about it. It is pretty amazing. Here we go. So you see the red lights. Now, if you look very closely, you see a little white pinpoint of light. It looks like someone has a flashlight, perhaps, but they don't. And it'll come and go. as we move through this minute and a half video. And it'll show up again. There it goes. It's like something is hitting it and glinting. That was my thought.
And now that light's brighter and dimmer. Look at that.
What would
that
be up there that would
reflect
like that? Because it's a very bright light. I think you can tell it's quite bright just by looking at this video. Now, there are a couple of farmhouses all the way at the end of this road and beyond this video, where this video, where this light is shown in the video. But there are no lights on at these farmhouses.
Wow, that's really bright.
That's really
now.
Bright now.
Yes.
And we didn't find there was anything that was
really noticeable. But
it remained quite a big mystery. I'd like to go back and spend, you know, several more days and try to get different cameras.
Okay,
the drone. See if there's anything we can see with the drone. So there's the end of the video. And you know, this is really peculiar. It has been happening like this. I mean, what you just saw is a small example, one light and a very strange thing occurring with it. But we've been there when there have been multiple lights, 6, 7, 8 lights, varying intensities. They each change their intensity. Some of them are very dim and move along and then they go out. Others just suddenly burst into light and they'll just get brighter and brighter and brighter. And then they just go out, or it'll just suddenly be where you're looking and then dodge off to the left or the right. As though it happens so fast, there's no streak. It just winks off and winks on someplace else. You can take a look at the original version of our experience there. It's in the members area. It's called Joplin Spook Lights. It's from the Expeditions TV archives. And you can take a look and see for yourselves what we saw. We didn't have the kind of equipment then that we have now. But even with what we had, it was really quite amazing to see. All right, so let's get on with this. In this video, it's about 35 minutes long. Grab your popcorn. And it's basically me talking to Orville and Cheryl Murphy. They bought this property, had moved there from Northern California. They seem to be pretty down to earth, really. Orville worked for FEMA, and I don't know what Cheryl did, but you know, they both were thinking, because you know, around Mount Shasta where they originally lived, they encountered, you know, people that were into the New Age and crystals and all this, and they thought they were just whack jobs, you know, didn't understand it, didn't want any part of it. It became too expensive to live in Northern California. They were retiring and they decided they needed someplace else. And you'll hear in the video, they decided to move to Arkansas at the suggestion of a friend. Ended up with this property that has a huge, huge crystal deposit on it. And they basically thought they would just open up a little campground, you know. When Orville was grading the property for the campground, that's when all these crystals started to show up. And he was told, these are worth a lot of money. You might consider doing something with these, because, I mean, you could make a lot more money than you can with a campground. And that's when things started getting a little weird. But you'll hear it directly from them. So I'm going to start the video. Afterwards, I'll open the phone lines. You folks can call in. Kathy will join me here. You can ask her questions, and she'll have some comments as well. And we'll just see how it goes. So, without any further delay, Here we go. Special feature. I'll be watching, I guess Kathy will be watching comments on Discus if you have any comments there. But we would like to have you call in. So international and national phone lines will be open once we get done with this video. So anyway, here you go. Special feature from Expeditions TV through Expeditions Media and the Jerry Wills Show. I hope you folks enjoy it.
Even a blind squirrel can come up with an acorn now and then.
Well, this has been hard life. You gotta do this for save your ass.
There are many places in the world where unusual phenomena occur. Some of these places, it happens only once in a while, and in others, it's a regular event. We've been through South America and Europe looking at some of these places, and now we're in the United States. Here, east of Mena, Arkansas, in a small town called Board Camp, we're at the Board Camp Crystal Mine. And here, some of the most unusual phenomena that is dependable day after day is happening. Come with us as we take a look to see exactly what it is that's going on here and hear from the people who live here to tell you their story.
Well, Orville and I, we actually knew each other in our former married lives, and then it just worked out that we were able to get together. And we married in 1992. We lived in the Mount Shasta area of California. Beautiful, beautiful mountainous area, of course.
I was raised in California. Cheryl and I got married up the base of Mount Shasta. We lived up there. And the we'd see crystal people. And of course, most of the time, we just thought they's a bunch of nuts. And yeah, I worked for FEMA at the time. I was traveling a lot. And it was like, really, get out of the road. I'm driving here, you know? And a lot of them would stand like this, absorbing energy. So we moved out of California. We moved to Arkansas.
A friend of ours was raised in this area in Arkansas, told us about it. So we came to check it out and we fell in love with it. And it's not the mountains, the Sierra Nevadas, but it's a beautiful area and rural farmland and all of that. And so we bought a piece of property when we got here in about 06. And we thought, well, let's see, we're in our like mid-50s by then. And we thought, well, let's maybe develop a little business. So we bought the property and we thought we'd put in a campground because there are other campgrounds in the area. And at that point, Orville was grading, the property we bought was totally, you know, pretty much forested, undeveloped. So he was grading to put some roads in, and the crystals just kept rolling up. And we knew that there, this area of the country can boast of quartz crystals. And there was some other crystal mines in our area, about 40 miles from us actually. And they were open to the public. So when Orville found the crystals, I mean, we didn't really think about opening a mine at that point. We're opening a campground, but the state geologist, we invited him to come out to tell us, you know, show us what we had. We didn't know anything about crystals. And he was the one that suggested we might open a public digging site.
And we ended up on a big crystal pocket out here. And then we started to see stuff that you can't unsee.
My son had come to visit from Texas, and it was his first visit. So we decided, it was actually a pretty nice, warmer February night. We decided, well, let's just go out and look at the stars, you know, it's beautiful. So we stepped out here, and all this land in back of me here, if the camera's picking any of that up, that's our crystal mine land. And we were just kind of looking over kind of toward the next ridge over there. And suddenly, to our surprise, The horizon over there just started with this white glow, and then these three beams of light appeared. And they were huge. They shot up, we estimated, about 300 feet into the air, the sky. And we, you know, our first impression is, well, obviously, where are these coming from? They're not hunter spotlights. Who would be on our property shooting great big beams of light up in the sky? They looked like commercial spotlight type, generated from something like that.
These beams went up 300 feet. And they were big around. And we didn't know if the beams went up or if there were beams coming down. But when you shine a light up in the sky, it goes all the way up. It doesn't stop and turn flat at 300 feet. And that was our first eye opener. I also noticed we had a flagpole out here at the time, and the top of the hill is lit up, beams up in the sky. We are just standing there hypnotized. And the first thing that came to my mind, being a vet, we had night training and everything else, I noticed there were no shadows. So here's this bright light that is lighting everything up. You can see everything, but no shadows.
Well, the beams only lasted about 8 to 10 seconds. We weren't even able to get like a photograph of it. We were just stunned watching it. And anyway, everything went black after about 8 to 10 seconds. And of course, we're like, well, who's on our property? We didn't hear any engines, like car engines, truck engines. We were baffled. It was about 10 o'clock at night, so we kind of talked about it. And
the second thing that pops into my mind is when the light was gone, when it shut out and everything was gone, I didn't lose night vision. I still had my night vision, and I should have lost night vision. Mm-hmm. So we ran back to the house, and we're trying to make notes, and everybody's talking and comparing because we don't want to lose any details.
And then the next morning we thought, well, we're going to walk up to that next ridge and we're going to check it out to see if we can find like tire tracks or footprints, human activity. Maybe someone's playing a joke on us. Who knows, right? We went up there and we did not find footprints or tire tracks, but what we did find was rather astounding to us, and that was all the metal objects up there were affected. So we had fence posts up there that had been straight. They were leaning. We had a great big, like a gate with a sign posted on it. This thing's about 6 foot, about maybe three foot high and 6 foot in length. And it was totally toppled over. And we were amazed because even the wind never had toppled that gate over. We had some mining tools, just hand tools that were strewn around after we'd left them in a pile, nice little neat pile, and they were kind of strewn all over the place. And we're like, wait a minute, what's going on here? So Orville is a little scientifically minded, so he grabs a chisel and he brings it to the house and he puts a compass next to it. And amazingly, the chisel we found was magnetized and also polarized on both ends. So at this point, we're like, who are you going to call? We didn't have Ghostbusters phone number at the time, but we called a friend and told them. And they knew about MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network. We'd never heard of MUFON. We didn't follow any of that crazy UFO stuff. Even when we lived in Mount Shasta, you know, we met a lot of the crystal people, and we're like, we're not into that, you know. But anyway, they called MUFON. MUFON called us, and they were extremely interested in investigating and coming on our property to check out this physical evidence of the metal objects being affected. And they told us that only 3% of sightings have physical evidence left behind. Usually it might be burn marks in the ground or a crop circle effect. And so anyway, in our case, it was these metal objects. And so they sent a team of investigators out, and they had Gauss meters, G-A-U-S-S, I think that's how you say it. Mm-hmm. And they were measuring, they were able to measure the magnetic field of the metal objects. And they were getting readings of up to 30 and 40 Gauss. And my understanding is like the normal magnetic field of the Earth is about 0.5 Gauss. So they were all excited because this was physical evidence that an anomaly happened. And at that point, they asked us about these beams. And they said, you know those three beams of light, did they like dissipate into the night sky like a spotlight light would do that? Or were they flat across the top? And my son and Orville and I, we agreed, like, you know what? They were flat across the top. So the MUFON people suggested that perhaps a craft actually came and hovered over our property and possibly harvesting crystal energy out of the ground. And that's what these lights were. And of course, at that point, we're like, you know, these MUFON people, they're really nice and everything, but that's a really whacked out thing, right? I mean, we couldn't even imagine. Never really considered the alien thing being that real, and certainly not personalized. And so anyway, the MUFON people, they came and left, and then we started seeing orbs of light. If our experience had just ended there, we probably would have shrugged our shoulders and gone on with our lives. But it didn't end there. We began seeing orbs of light, little round ones. They would flash on, flash off out here in the woods. Little sparks of light, kind of like fireflies. But of course, it wasn't firefly season back in February and March. And then we started getting visitations from Native Americans. And they were telling us that our land was sacred. And, you know, we're like, what? I mean, it was very humbling, number one. That was like, what's going on? And that they said they wanted to bless our land. And they, you know, did some simple ceremonial type blessings. And, I mean, we just didn't even know what to think. We were really amazed. And then over time, like our friends, they wanted to come see things. And also, Josh Gates of Expedition Unknown, he got a hold of our story through MUFON, and he came out and filmed. And if you go to our website, boardcampcrystalmine.com, you'll be able to find a link there to see Josh Gates' film. And, I mean, all of this just started mushrooming, and we were amazed. So, anyway... here we are today. We keep having things happen, manifestations. These, I guess all I can say is they're beings, some kind of intelligent life form. They've introduced themselves to us. They continue to manifest in ways, not appearing like an apparition. It's nothing like that. But we even have signs of Sasquatch. When we were introduced to that, we were like, whoa, wait a minute, you know, this alien thing is enough, right? Or spirits or whatever. But now Sasquatch, oh, I don't even think we want to go there. But anyway, over time, you know, we were introduced to it and things have been revealed. And we started our unexplained tours so the public could come and experience what we've been experiencing. And we get visited even when we have guests here. A lot of people feel that energy from the crystals. I assume it's from the crystals, the magnetism and so forth. It's a wonderful thing. And there's healing, physical healing can oftentimes be involved with that. And I don't know, it's just amazing. And here we are today, you know, we're able to share this and we've had many visitors at this point and we totally enjoy our visitors. Whether they come to just dig crystals or if they come on our tours, you know, and we can share this amazing experience.
When the when you saw the pictures from the game camera of the rock moving and levitating, how did you feel about that?
Oh my goodness, we had no idea what was going on. It was shocking. We never expected that. Orville actually put the game camera up on that ridge over there. Initially, because we kept thinking someone's messing with us. You know, we're going to catch someone on our property messing with us. And, you know, we were catching, like, certain rocks being moved around a little bit. And, but anyway, you can see some of those images on our YouTube channel. And it was shocking at first to see the pictures from the game camera of rocks. I mean, big rocks being moved around, and then over time, boulders, actual boulders, like 300-400 pounds, also being moved to different locations, and even stacked, rock stacks, just amazing. And of course, yeah, just like, what the heck is going on? So shocking. And I think one thing that really means a lot to us personally is that even though all this weirdness has been happening in our lives, but we never felt like threatened. We never felt any like evil. Whatever's happening is just part of this amazing life that we live that I call creation, you know, and there's so much we don't understand about it. Perhaps it's other dimensions. We're the life forms that live, you know, in the 3D world, and I don't know why there can't be life forms in other dimensions, intelligent life. And for whatever reason, they're able to visit us. Not all of us, I don't think, can visit them, but I know through meditation and so forth, some people seem like they're able to do that, to make a connection. But anyway, that's the main thing, is that we've come to a place where we really feel loved and appreciated. And this interaction that we have with the beings, they give us gifts. They leave crystals places for us and our guests. You know, like I could just walk up to this picnic table and find a little crystal sitting here and go, whoa, where'd that come from? And there it is, you know, and that happens pretty frequently. And it's a surprise. It's always a nice surprise. And it happens to our guests when they come as well. Many of our guests get gifts, and it's a very loving thing. So my question is, why? Why are you reaching out? Why are they reaching out and making contact with us? And we haven't been able to find an answer to that question, but and maybe we never will, but it's happening. We're experiencing it, and other people that have come, they're experiencing it too, and it's just amazing. I don't know
how else to describe it. So tell me about the 60 people and the light.
Okay. This group, they travel around the world, actually, and they go to hot spots, I guess you would say, or places where there's this type of activity. And so they came, they heard about us, and they came in like a big tour bus, and they were sitting on picnic tables in a low area, focusing up on that ridge up there on the hill. And this was actually September 17th of 2017. And it was after dark, and we were all seeing orbs. I went out and sat on the tables with some of the people, and we were just kind of going back and forth visiting. And that's what we love to do. We love to visit with our guests, you know, and make a connection with them that way too. But anyway, we were seeing orbs flashing in the woods, lights, and all of a sudden, this huge light manifested on the top of the hill up there. And I don't even remember exactly how long it lasted, maybe 5 seconds, 10 seconds. But, you know, when something overwhelming happens like that, you just kind of lose track of, gosh, you know, how and when, because you're just so amazed. And as it turned out, when it happened, it was such an unexpected surprise that we all just kind of started cheering and clapping as a unit. And anyway, what happened with my husband Orville is that he decided, and he wasn't with us on that, like where I was sitting, he decides to run up there because he wants to like tackle it or at least see what's going on, because it's like we still are questioning, what the heck are these lights? What's causing them? So he's going to go up there and try to see what the source is.
We had a group of people here, and there were 60 people, and they were in South America, and they were chasing lights in South America, and they had visions and everything, and they're out doing their thing. Well, they said they followed the light, the other end of the spectrum, and I didn't understand a lot. I'm still new to this, and I still am. But they said they followed it to Arkansas. Mm-hmm. So they went up top of Queen Wilhelmina over here, and they lost what they were looking for. The energy wasn't right or whatever. Then one of them came over here, and he goes, I can feel it here. Calls everybody else up. We had a tour that night with 60 people. They were chanting, and they were humming, and they must have hit the right note or something. But the top of that hill just lit up.
And anyway, the light, you know, disappeared, it flashed on. It was huge. It was just huge. Maybe as tall as the tree. I don't know. But it flashed on and then went out. And I didn't even know Orville was gone, actually. I didn't know he had run up there. But as it turned out, he came back later. He said, he told us later when he came back that he had run up there, but by the time he got to the top, it was gone. The light was gone.
And I ran as fast as I could up the hill. It's about 350 feet. So I ran up the hill because I wanted to see where it's originating from. I want to experience it. I want to touch it, feel it, right?
Yeah.
I get to the top of the hill. Just as I get to the tree line, it's gone. So I turn around and walk back down. When I get back down, Cheryl and Jason and some friends of ours who were helping out were all sitting on the stage. And I said, you're going to tell me these people can conjure up a light like that and then fishtail out of here in less than 5 minutes? And Jason goes, 5 minutes? We've been looking for you for over an hour. He goes, we have walked up the hill twice calling you. And I was still pouring sweat from running up the hill. So I lost over an hour time.
That concludes the first half of the program, Mystery at Board Camp Mine. You might want to catch the entire program. Actually, you might want to watch the video because there are some really good graphics with this one. You can do that by becoming a member. Visit jerrywillsshow.com and sign up today. That's jerrywillsshow.com. We hope you've enjoyed this portion of the program. Thank you for listening.